At this time, we would like to welcome you to Spiritual Talk Radio. This program is here to educate, encourage, and empower you, and we do this by providing you with spiritual teaching and free readings from psychic medium Michael and his guests. Check out www.spiritualtalkradio.net to see all that has taken place here already and all that is ahead. We would like to encourage you to be a part of the program by calling in at 1-347-327-9316. Our lines will open later on in the program, and you will be notified by Michael when this happens. Now sit back, relax, and let's see what Spirit has in store for you and I today on Spiritual Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
One, two, three, four. Moving down the line comes a train of sorrow, crossing on your heart and mind, where it stops a while. You can buy your ticket now for a sad tomorrow. It's a long way down the line till you find your way. Hold on and we can make it together. Sunshine is gonna clear up the weather. Better days are coming. From day to day, someone's there to watch us. You can ease your tired soul if you raise your head. Riding over rocky ground makes you kind of wonder if you're gonna make it last through another day. Hold on, we can make it together. Clear up the weather. Better days are coming. Better days are coming. Time for a celebration. There'll be a new tomorrow. Time for a jubilation. Jump off the train of sorrow. Be a brighter morning if you can tell this story. Ride on a train of glory, not on the train of sorrow. No, 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 no.
Thank you. Love that song. Happy Monday, I guess. And I guess it's Monday, right? Yeah. So, hey, you know, time just goes by so fast anymore that I'm having a hard time keeping up with stuff. But I've had a great day. Hopefully you've had too. I haven't really done a whole lot today, but I did go out, and you haven't heard me talk about this for a while, but I did go out and play disc golf today, and really into it, and it's really good exercise, and it really does help. In a lot of ways, it helps ground me, and just helps me focus a little bit better and stuff like that. So, you know, and I think that a lot of times right now, especially with this new energy that's on our planet, and our guest is going to be talking about some of this as he comes forward here in a minute. We have I'm honored and privileged to have Jason Lincoln Jeffers with us tonight, and he'll be talking to us here about his new book. He has a brand new book out, and he was nice enough to send me a copy of it. And it's called The Next Human, and we're going to be talking to him about that and how he, you know, what does all that mean, and he can tell us a little bit about what to expect ahead. But before we do all that, I did pull a card for the show tonight, and the card comes from my Archangel Michael deck. I always try to start the show by pulling a card, and it said, prayer will help this situation. The bottom of the card has actually a prayer on the bottom of it. It says, dear God and Archangel Michael and anyone else that you pray to, I ask for your divine intervention with this situation, whatever you're facing right now. And I welcome your help, and I trust and follow your guidance with gratitude and grace. I need a miracle and ask that you send one to me in this situation quickly. Thank you and amen. The one thing that I'm going to ask you all do for me, I don't ask a lot, but tomorrow I'm going to go actually to a job fair, as long as the weather, we're supposed to have some bad weather tomorrow as well, but I'm supposed to go to a job fair tomorrow, and this will be in the afternoon, and I really want you all to pray for the higher good, whatever that is. And I've been out of work for a while. I mean, I do readings, and, you know, there's an income coming in. But it would be also nice, one way or another, if that income increased somehow. So either way would be good. But tomorrow I'm going to do that. And so, you know, just remember that. And that runs about from 2 to 7. So I'll probably roughly be over there about 3 o'clock, something like that. Just remember that, and I'd appreciate it. Let's go, talking about prayer, let's go to prayer now, and then we'll get Jason on with me, okay? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, Mother, God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the energy that I'm feeling right now, and Father, Mother, God, I want to thank you for Jason and his life and what you're doing through him, and not just with the book, but also through his artwork and through the coaching that he does and through the numerology that he provides and all the amazing things that you do through him on a daily basis. And Father, Mother, God, right now, I just pray that you would continue to bless him, continue to guide him, continue to direct him. And Father, Mother, God, I thank you for putting him on this planet to help all of us. And Father, Mother, God, I pray for my listeners right now. I pray that you would just touch them, whatever needs they have, and whatever their situation is, let them know that a miracle is on its way, that there is something coming. And the one thing, Father, Mother, God, let us be able to manifest, you know, what we want in our lives, bringing that to us, changing the way we look into things. And as we learn tonight about the next human, what that is, and you know, from Jason's point of view as he writes this book, you know, let us be open-minded to this. Let us have a clear mind tonight, not with any of our belief systems, not with any of our reservations, but let us be open to hear what you have to hear for us tonight. And Father, Mother, God, right now surround us with that white light of the Holy Spirit, and we say namaste, and we say amen, and we actually say hello to Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hello, Michael. Namaste. And thank you for having me. Thank you for that wonderful prayer. That was very kind of you. It's an honor to be with you and to bring the message of the next human with your wonderful listening audience.
I know. Now, could you let's get to you first, and then we'll get to your book. Tell us a little bit about you. Just, you know, how did you get started, and maybe, you know, how you got into the book. How, you know, what led you to the book?
Right. Well, it's been a long journey. It began probably when I was about 21. I was going through a divorce. I got married when I was very young, and I was married for about 2 years, and then my father died. He passed away. He was 88 when I was 23. He was 65 when I was born, so he was up there in years. But those two traumatic events that occurred back in 1989, 1990, sent me spiraling downwards, and I came down with a very severe case of chronic fatigue syndrome.
Right.
That became very debilitating, so I didn't have energy to work anymore. I went back to school. I finished my degree in psychology, and then I did a lot of self-study and self-research into metaphysics and philosophy and alternative medicine, because I was very sick, and conventional medicine wasn't curing me of anything. I spent thousands of dollars on conventional doctors, but to no avail. And I couldn't get well. And in fact, I just kept getting sicker and sicker. And I had a number of other diseases on top of the chronic fatigue that compelled me to seek out alternative modalities. Mm-hmm. And so it was a journey that lasted almost 20 years and finally culminated about 5 years ago. And so I started to reflect, and I started to paint full time. I had a very successful business that took off, and so that afforded me some free time to paint, which is one of my passions.
Mm-hmm.
So I retreated into that, and then after painting for a couple of years, I started to write down my observations and reflections about my transformational journey.
Right.
That began over 20 years ago. So that's really what compelled me to sit down and finally write the book, which I began seriously writing about in January, about a year ago, and then finished it last September.
Right. Now, yeah, and your paintings, let's talk about your paintings a little bit, because I think those are amazing. I've seen them on your website, and they just blow me away. It's just amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, you're here to talk about your book, but let's talk a little bit about your painting really quick here. Because I found it very interesting. Now, do you paint intuitive, or do you? How do you come to those paintings?
Well, yeah, it is an intuitive process. There's no question about it. They kind of create themselves,
right?
Just in the same way that the book almost kind of wrote itself. I was trained by my father to channel, to let go when I was very young, and.
Right.
So I was meditating and interpreting my dreams from the age of six.
Mm-hmm.
And so had a kind of a really unusual upbringing that way. But it is intuitive. I call it transformational art or mystical expressionism. But people have commented that it's had a metamorphic effect upon mm-hmm. them. So it does help to raise the vibration of the room or your house or apartment or wherever you have the actual artwork. So,
yeah,
very healing. Yeah.
Yeah, because the one that I really like is the one that you're sitting in front of. I love that. I love that painting. And every time I look at it, there's something different that I see. I mean, or it speaks to me. And I think that's with any painting. You know, we could look at one painting one day, and it will talk to us in a different way, because I think that spirit uses that to speak to our spirits. Would you agree with that? Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry, you just broke up for a second there. The painting that is behind me in the bio, I know which one you're talking about. A lot of people
right.
have commented on that as well, and some people have claimed to see an angel there. and see other, you know, everybody sees something different because it is
right.
an abstract painting. But Yeah, so that's, you know, they just kind of create themselves, and so I'm very, very grateful that it's helping people, and we're selling them off of the website, my website at jasonlincolnjeffers.com.
Right, yeah, and that's what I was about ready to tell you, say your website, and you did, so so that was good. But
yeah.
So in some way you might be intuitive as well, but because I was getting ready to say, mention your website at the moment. But yeah, you know, because I also feel like that with the painting and probably with the book as well, there probably was a lot of healing that takes place through both of those channels for you. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And now let's get to your book really quick here, because I really liked it. I read a lot of it, and I found it very interesting, you know, and it opened up my eyes to, you know, to looking at things differently. You know, I think that's a lot of times we get stuck in patterns and belief systems, and we need to be open-minded, especially as we're going through this transformation. And that's what I really felt like this book was addressing, was this time that we're in now, when we're moving into a different phase of our lives. And could you tell us a little bit about the book? And
sure.
And you want to share about the book, yeah.
Okay, sure, I'd be happy to. Well, it's broken down into 7 chapters, and each chapter is based on a self. I call it the transformation of the 7 selves. Mm-hmm. Begins with the pseudo-self, which is the ego.
Right.
And in that chapter, we teach how to identify the ego in yourself, to identify it in others. And then I give you the tools that you need to transcend it, because that is the first step. That's what I call evolution 101.
Right.
And so that's where we need to start, because until we can learn how to move beyond the ego, then
right.
we're going to remain stuck in the current human stage of evolution. And that's the stage where we're in now, where we're constantly fighting one another. We have all of these wars that we've got going on around the world. We've got 17,000 nuclear warheads on the planet.
Right.
And 5,000 of them are armed and ready. So in order for us to move beyond this warring stage of evolution, we have to get beyond the ego. And so in that chapter, teach you how to identify the ego in yourself, and then to identify it in others. And then once you can do that, once you can say that's the ego, then that's the spark of enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And then that prepares you for the next stage, which is the transcending the phantom self, which is evolution 201. The phantom self is the shadow of the ego. It's what Carl Jung referred to as the shadow. It's what Eckhart Tolle refers to as the pain body. And essentially what it is, it's a projection of our moral deficiencies, what we hate in ourselves, we suppress, and
right.
have been suppressing since we were traumatized in childhood. Nearly everyone was at some point traumatized to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we repress that trauma, and then that trauma gets masked and then projected onto others in the form of blame, intolerance, hatred, judgment, condemnation, harsh criticism, and all of these dark negative emotions that we feel in our pain body. This is when we feel anger, when we feel rage, when we feel hatred toward another human being. This is not who we are, but this is a negative energy field that is a parasite. It's a psychic parasite that consumes us and makes
right.
us do things that we later regret. So
right.
that's why it's called the unknown face, and that's why it's called the phantom. I call it the phantom self. And so in that chapter, I teach how to identify it in yourself and to transcend it. I carried a very dense pain body with me around for many, many years, which is why it eventually manifested itself as physical disease.
Mm-hmm.
And all the physical diseases, which we get to in the third chapter, Evolution 301, the physical self. And in that chapter, I go into detail about all of the alternative medicine healing modalities that helped me to cure myself of all of these diseases. I had 5 or 6 of them at one time, and several of them were debilitating. So I know what it is to have chronic diseases,
right?
And now I'm in perfect health. So we go into upper cervical care and the benefits of that, and to the detoxification benefits of an infrared sauna. And that's the company that I founded, Sunlighten, which is one of the fastest holistic wellness companies, growing holistic wellness companies in America, and has been since 2003. And then the ketogenic diet, we go into that in detail as well, which is cutting out all the excess sugar,
right,
and eating a very nutrient-dense diet, which contains complete protein and the necessary fats that your body needs. So we go into those healing modalities in that chapter. And for people that are suffering, there's plenty of people out there that are suffering. One out of every two Americans takes a prescribed pill every day. And so if we were healthy as a nation, we wouldn't be so addicted to prescription drugs as we are. So we want to get beyond the drugs and get into more natural ways of healing. And then the fourth chapter is called the mirror self, and that is transforming relationships. And in this chapter, we teach you how to realize that you are already whole, you are already complete, that you don't need somebody else to bring you happiness. And when you can move beyond that state of codependency, then you will naturally attract to you your true soulmate. Most people think that they're going to find their soulmate because they join an online dating service or follow the guidelines laid out in a particular book, but it doesn't work that way. You first have to retrieve your soul, and then you attract your mate. So I've written some short stories in that chapter on how to do that, on actual situations and events that occurred in my life of friends and clients and so forth that describe the hardships that we all endure in relationships. And then the fifth chapter is the creative self, which is teaching heart-based manifestation. And this is living in the heart. This is the stage of the next human who is going to, instead of manifesting her reality from her mind, which a lot of self-help books teach out there, like The Secret, we're going to learn how to manifest from the heart. So that chapter delves into that, and we go into the details of how to do that in heart-based manifestation. And then the sixth chapter is called the ethereal self, or the ethereal self. And in that chapter, we talk about the spiritual body that exists in the same place as a physical body, but it is made of light, it's made of ether, and how to get in touch with it, how to get in touch with your life force energy. And I write a memoir about the Kundalini Awakening in that chapter. The Kundalini Awakening that happened with to me back in 2001, beginning in 2001. And so a lot of people are having that inner body experience, and they don't know what it is, and they don't know what's happening to them. So that is going to be great for people who are going through that. A lot of people now that are having near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences with similar symptoms. So we go into details about that. We talk about the human chakra system, and we talk about the spirit world, the ethereal plane, talk a little bit about near-death experiences and so forth in that chapter. And then the final chapter is called the zero-point self, and that chapter is merging science with spirituality and teaching that they're really two sides of the same coin, and that quantum physics is finally catching up to ancient mysticism, what the ancients were well aware of back in the ancient Vedas, which they wrote about, the Vedic texts of ancient India 6,000 years ago, that we're living in a holographic universe, a hologram, where every person has all the information of every other person on Earth. In other words, every photon, every atom and every cell contains within it all the information of every other photon, cell, or atom in the entire cosmos. This is no longer a theory in science. This is an actual principle. And so it's called the holographic principle. So we talk about that a little bit in that chapter. We talk about the hive mind, about the Princeton egg, and the Global Consciousness Project, and how they've been experimenting with that since the 90s, and how they have proven, without a doubt, that there is a hive mind. We have a global consciousness. And then we end the book, talking about the end of the Mayan cycle, which is the end of the 13,000-year cycle, which culminated on December 21st of 2012.
Right.
And now we're into a new cycle, a new 13,000-year cycle, beginning with the Aquarian Age, which is 2,165 years. And this is the Age of Enlightenment. This is the Age of Higher Reasoning, of Higher Understanding. It's the symbol of the beautiful water bear who is pouring out her knowledge and wisdom with her pitcher onto humanity. And this is the age of brotherly and sisterly love, realizing that we are all one. We can put down our weapons. We can put down our arms. We don't have to fight each other anymore. We don't have to kill one another anymore. But we can help each other to grow, nurture one another, love one another, and start taking care of one another, where nobody goes hungry, nobody goes thirsty, nobody goes without clean water, where everybody is taken care of. And that's how we end the book.
Right. Now, I'm gonna hit on some points. But I found that very interesting. And the chapter that really helped me, the chapter that really helped my life, because I'm at this point in my own life, was the relationship part of, you know, because there was a relationship that I needed to heal. So that really helped me. And the one thing that really helped me to see that my ego was in the way, you know, it was that, you know, and nobody wants to really admit that, but, you know, that our egos do get in the way sometimes. But, you know, I was working from a place of my head and not from my heart. You know, I was looking at things from a different point of view. And I think that that's what this book is really trying to get. What I got from your book was, you know, to get us out of our heads and into center and into our heart and working from that place and manifesting from that place. Because if we're manifesting stuff from our head, then a lot of times we're not going to get that stuff. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, you're exactly right, and that is exactly the transformational process that's occurring right now with so many people through relationships, and that's why I devoted an entire chapter to relationships, because all you have to do is turn on any of the cable channels during the day, like the Bravo channel and these reality shows that they have on there, and you see people throwing stuff at each other, This is, I know, I've lived that. I've lived the drama. I've lived the insanity. And so to get beyond that, we have to learn that until we understand that we are ego-identified, that we're pain-body-identified, that we are living out this negative energy field and calling it ourselves, which is all false. Okay, until we can move past that, then we're going to naturally attract the same in a partner.
Right.
So we're going to attract the same. So not only are you going to marry your partner, but you're marrying his or her pain body as well.
Right. See?
And that, and then the whole negative energy just keeps repeating itself. So you really have to transform yourself. You really have to get beyond your ego. And then once you do that, once you stop identifying with it, then you will naturally start to attract loving, kindly, nurturing, caring people into your life instead of people who are angry. Because I was angry. I was so angry because I projected all my anger out to the world. I hated the world. I hated myself for coming down with all these diseases. And so all of that negative energy gets projected. When it gets projected outward, the universe, which I call the collective mirror, can only reflect back to you what you're projecting out into it.
Right.
So the analogy that I use is that we're all human projectors, and that the what we call the world is really a movie screen that is reflecting back what we're projecting upon it. So the same thing happens in our relationship. When you and somebody else get together in an intimate relationship, that person is going to be your mirror self. Mm-hmm. So if you really don't like that person, you really have to start looking inward and in going inward and starting an inner transformation and start to observe your own behavior and to observe your own anger. And
right.
So if you're calling that person names in your mind, that it doesn't matter. You don't have to utter a word. That's still negative energy getting projected outward, and that person's energy field is still picking it up. And it will get projected back onto you in one form or another.
Yep.
So you have to be neutral. You can't continue to go on and just love that person conditionally and love that person only if they, you know, do good things to you. If you really want to love somebody, you have to love them with your entire heart. But that doesn't mean allowing them to abuse you. That's not unconditional love, and I make that very clear in that chapter. A lot of people get that confused. So they allow other people to cross over their boundaries, and they think that that's selfless love. No, it's not selfless love. It's self-abuse because you're allowing that person to cross boundaries, and subtly, sometimes it's very subtle abuse. I call it pinpricking or needling, where it occurs on such a subtle level that the person that's being abused, it's not even aware that they're being abused, and they just simply take it. I did that for many, many years with friends. It wasn't just an intimate relationship, but I surrounded myself with several male friends who constantly did that to me. And I internalized it. I never stood up for myself. And that only contributed to my pain body, which only exacerbated my physical diseases.
Right.
So
just kept things rolling.
Yeah.
It just kept things rolling and rolling because you were just stuck in that negativity and drawing that to you and making things worse and better. And then finally, how did you – okay, so what was that wake-up? This would be interesting. When was that wake-up moment for you? Because there had to be a wake-up moment for you to write this book and to get, you know, you said that you're totally healed now and that you're physically well. So what was that wake-up moment for you, and when did that happen for you?
Well, it happened in 2007, and I was in New York, and I was living in Manhattan at the time. I had been estranged from my family for about 2.5 years.
Right.
And spoken because my pain body had become so dense that I couldn't be around them because they were constantly pushing my buttons. Because that's what happens when you're carrying a heavy pain body, the denser it becomes, the more sensitive and raw you become to especially people who are close to you. Their pain bodies will naturally push your buttons because that's what the pain body does. It feeds on that pain. So in order to extract pain from you, It knows exactly what buttons to push. It knows exactly what to say to hurt you. So
right.
I had to remove myself. I had to remove myself from my family and friends and so forth and just be alone. So I moved from the Midwest. I moved to New York City to study art there and to go to the galleries and to see what the art world was doing for about a year. And it came around in September of 2007, and I received word that my sister had her first son and my first nephew. And so he was born on September 11th of 2007. And I just broke down and started crying and really travailing. I mentioned this in the introduction of the book. And just started saying out loud, I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be angry anymore. And I called up my mom and told her that and said I just wanted to come home and reunite with my family and be a loving uncle. And ever since, I have been living through the heart. My whole reality has changed because I've been projecting love out into the universe instead of anger and instead of contempt and disgust. So that changed my reality. That one instance finally, it was the final turning point, I think, for me, that really helped to create a whole new reality for me. And then my diseases naturally just faded away.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, I don't know if you would agree with this, and this is just a question I want to ask. I mean, because I know in my own life, there has been a lot of traumatic experiences that had to take place to get me to where I'm at now. And it sounded like with you there were some things, and, you know, like I admitted earlier, a lot of what you're saying I can relate to, you know, that anger and all that stuff. I can sort of relate to a lot of that.
Yeah.
And we have to, you know, we have to get past that. But I always feel like that there's like this moment that we have a choice, you know, that Spirit brings something into our path and says, okay, this is your wake-up moment. This is, you know, this is that moment in time when you got to make a choice. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that. I think it is a choice. It was a choice because that really is a true choice. That it really is true free will.
Right.
Most of the time we have these what we call choices, but in reality they are reactions to what's happening in our lives, and that's the ego. The ego reacts. It doesn't. So there's really no free will there. There's really no true choice because you're constantly reacting to situations and events.
Right.
So that the ego can go into its, what I call it, self-repair mode, so it can feel a little bit better about itself, and that's usually retaliation in some sort, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
And you're trying to get back at whomever caused you that pain and suffering, whether it be a business partner or be a, you know, an intimate partner or a boss or whomever. But that retaliation, that part, that's the ego. It has to kind of repair itself. And That's reactionary. So when you finally land into the heart, in which I did in September of 2007 when my first nephew was born,
right?
Then that's free will. That's making a choice. And that's really the first time that I really made a true choice to change my life for the better. And it's just been getting better and better ever since.
Right. And now was that an easy process, or did it take a little bit of you working to get to that, to stay in your heart?
Well, it required training, and that's really what the book is about. The book is about,
right,
you know, that training process of constantly staying vigilant and conscious, and when your mind, when you observe the mind going off on a tangent and going, because it will. That's what the ego does. It'll go back into the past and it'll relive and rehash a lot of the traumas that you have lived, and it'll go through the regret stage, and I can't believe I did that, and it'll go through the shameful stage. You know, I have a good friend who just went through her third divorce,
right,
and, you know, and she's her ego is pounding on her still, you know, that regret, that shame. But this is just life. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be regretful of. This is how we grow. If
right,
we didn't make these so-called quote-unquote mistakes, because ultimately there really are no mistakes. It's just life. But
right,
we call them mistakes. The religion has called them sins, just to make them sound horrible and make you feel even more guilty. But
right,
we have to get past this whole guilt thing, because that really retards our evolution. It really slows everything down, and it keeps us stuck. And
right,
we get into these modes where it's like self-imposed punishment, where we, and I've seen a lot of people do it in my life, just because they've made all a bunch of mistakes, all of a sudden they're just so riddled with guilt and shame that they just go off in solitude and be depressed for years, you know,
right,
and that they're just punishing themselves. And so, you know, I did that, but to answer your question, it is about educating myself and reading as much metaphysical and spiritual books as I could, self-help books, whatever, on that, on the ego, on the pain body, and getting back to it and listening to as many radio shows and watching as many videos and keeping your mind occupied on healing, keeping your mind occupied on transformation, on moving forward. If you just sit there and be depressed, and, you know, and shrug yourself, and just you're not going anywhere. You're not doing anybody any good, and
right,
you're just contributing to the psychic disharmony of the planet. So that's really the motivator for the book, is to help and to show others that if I could do it, you can do it. It's just a process. You just have to train. Just have to keep at it. And it's just like anything, Michael. When you first learned how to ride a bike, you just didn't hop on a two-wheeler and start riding.
Right.
you know, you had training wheels, and then when you took the training wheels off, you fell down, you skinned your knee, you got back up. It's the same thing. Learning how to transcend the ego and transcend that pain body energy, moving beyond that, that it just takes time and practice like anything else.
Right. Yeah. And the one thing I liked about your book is that you give us things that we can use, tools. You know, you just don't give us the information, but you also give us guidelines to help us how we can put those in our own lives.
Yeah, I tried to do that. I wanted to make it as easy and simple process as possible. So there's guided meditations, there's exercises, and there's and then the short stories that I wrote in chapter 4, which are I've obviously changed the names and the places of people in there, but those events were almost exactly as they played out, almost verbatim. I mean, it's as crazy as they sound in the book, but those are real life instances. And so then I go, and at the end of each section or each story, I give an analysis as to why, you know, this person said this and this person did that and so forth. And it's because I know a lot of people can identify with those stories.
Right. And that's what I would tell people, you know, to, you know, go out and get the book, you know, especially right now, because I feel like that we're definitely in this time of transformation. And, you know, the one thing that nobody really, you know, our egos, we all have them and we all have to keep them in check every once in a while. But, you know, the one thing is that nobody really wants to take that look at yourself and say, hey, you know what, you know, there might be something I need to look at. Maybe I am too much in my head. And I have a lot of friends right now. I can name off a whole bunch of people right now that, unfortunately, they're all in their heads, and they're in that ego place. And, you know, I still love them and wanting to help them out of there, but they got to make that choice for themselves. And the ego really doesn't want them to come out of that place. But they will, and eventually get into their hearts and move past all that and move into a better place. Now, Jason, how would we get hold of your book if we want that book?
Well, you go to the site is the best way. And you, of course, you can get it on Amazon, but my site is the best way to get it because it's in three different formats there at jasonlincolnjeffers.com. And you can get it in PDF or Kindle, or you can buy it in the paperback version as well. I also provide or offer coaching, life and wellness coaching via Skype, so you can take advantage of that if you need some coaching or if you're searching for your true vocation in life. I specialize in life path astrology. I've been studying astrology since I was 12 years old, and so I've counseled thousands of clients on their life path, and so I kind of specialize in that. There are a lot of burgeoning next humans out there that are depressed, or some of them are suicidal even, because they are not sure of their vocation and what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And so through life path astrology, we can analyze that and give them some helpful readings.
Right. And I would, you know, I don't know personally that much about astrology. I did have a friend that was really into that. But I would, you know, and maybe that sometime, you know, we can bring you back and we can talk a little bit more about that. Because a lot of people are really interested into astrology and how, you know, the planets, you know, lining up actually do tell us things about ourselves. I have a friend that lives close to me that she, usually if there's something going on with me, I'll give her a call and I say, okay, I'm all goofed up. Tell me what's going on with my planets, because there has to be something going on. But there are a lot of people out there right now, you know, especially while we're making the shift. You know, 2012 was a major shift for a lot of people. And a lot of people are really having a hard time going, okay, what is going on with me? You know, there's a lot of people that probably think they're going a little nutsy and you know, and stuff like that, because there is a major shift. And, you know, definitely I would tell them, you know, hey, you know, talk to an astrologer, see what's going on with your planets and see how that is affecting you.
Yeah, we can do that. I'd be happy to do that. I specialize in that, and you're right. Because of all the changes that are going on right now, a lot of people are feeling it. They're feeling the brunt of it, for sure.
Yeah. And probably some people listening to us right now, you know, maybe for the first time they're hearing, okay, what is this next human? And you know, they're probably like, okay, what is this? But you know, basically it's where we're advancing to, where we're changing, where we're not going to be working so much from a head place, but from a heart place. And you know, that's caused a lot of our problems in our world, I believe, is the ego. You know, people's egos have gotten in the way a lot of times. And, you know, that's what, you know, you mentioned earlier on the program, you know, that's what causes a lot of wars and causes all this fighting, because when our egos are in the way, you know, we're working from a place of our head, and we're not even close to our heart, and so we wouldn't even know how to even work from that place.
Well, you're absolutely right, because the ego doesn't know anything about unity. The spiritual teachers are talking about unity consciousness right now, okay? This is the shift that we're moving toward. The heart is all about unity. The heart knows that we're connected. The heart knows that we are all one. The ego, which is that pseudo-self, is all about separation. If the ego dissolves in the now, in the present moment, and the heart rules the present moment. So that there's the difference right there. The more you can move closer and closer to the now and live in the present moment without worrying about what's going to happen, what may or may not happen tomorrow or the next day, the more you're going to be living in the heart. And the more that you can realize that you don't need to judge others, you don't need to be intolerant of others, you don't need to be frustrated of others, no matter what they say and do, because if you react, you're only contributing to them. When you fight, you're empowering that negative energy. That's why I teach to stop fighting and start allowing. It's like when you walk into a crowded room, and you want to get to the front of the room, but there's just a large crowd in your way. If you start pushing people out of the way and say, you know, get the blankety blank out of my way, watch and see what happens. You're going to be pushed back by that entire crowd, probably out of the room.
Yeah, probably.
On the flip side, though, if you whisper kindly and gently into the ears of the people in front of you, could you kindly allow me passage? Then you'll find that the crowd will be parting like the Red Sea did for Moses. And that is the difference between allowing and instead of fighting. So this whole idea that we have to fight our diseases, that the diseases are our enemy, as if there's some kind of random occurrence that happens for no reason, which is ridiculous. And every time you turn on the television and you watch politics, it's all about fighting the other party. Or if you watch business, it's about fighting the competition, right? Everything is a battle.
Right.
And this whole mindset is the ego, because the ego needs an adversary. It needs an enemy. It strengthens itself through an enemy, because this is how we have differences of opinions. And when the ego says, because you and I disagree, you are my enemy.
Right.
See? And that is the reason why we pick up battle axes, why we pick up guns, why we pick up cannons and nuclear weapons and go to war against one another, is because of that separation. That ego says, because we are different, because we have different opinions or beliefs, ideologies, whatever, you have become my enemy. And because to the ego, anybody who does disagree with it, because you're so ego-identified, you and your opinion are one, essentially, at that point, then anybody who threatens that opinion, idea, belief, ideology, becomes a threat to your very survival. And when a group, nation, or tribe rises up in violence to defend that particular idea or ideology, that is breeding the worst evil, and that's why 166 million people died in the 20th century because of 207 wars, because of these fascism, communism, Marxism, and all these other isms, which are just all they are beliefs,
right?
Opinions, okay? So it's insanity. We have to understand that we are more than our beliefs. We are more than our opinions.
Right.
Okay, we have to get beyond that. We are eternal consciousness. We are eternal beings that live forever and ever and ever. These petty beliefs are just based on perspectives anyway. Just because your neighbor has a different opinion or belief in you just means that he or she has a different perspective of the universe. It doesn't mean that he or she is wrong. It just means that he or she is looking upon the universe from a different perspective. We are all on different steps of what I call the ladder of evolutionary consciousness. And this ladder just goes on and on and onwards and upwards, okay? And so everybody's all kind of on their own step. And does it mean that, you know, a 12th grader is better than a first grader? It just means that that person is just a little bit more educated and sees things from a different perspective.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, I agree with the ladder thing is that, and I think that's awesome. You know, because everybody can relate to that. Because we're, you know, I always tell people, you know, we're at different levels. We're not all at the same level, but we're all one because we all have that same spirit. We all have that consciousness inside of us, and so we're all one. And I totally agree with everything you said tonight because I, you know, that's what I've always been trying to focus on is, you know, because the thing is get past the separation, this feeling that we've had that we're separate because we're actually in all reality one. And working for one purpose, and that is to, you know, to keep on moving. And talking about moving, unfortunately, it is time to say goodbye to you. but I do appreciate you coming on, and I found it very interesting, and I want to thank you personally for sending me a copy of the book. I appreciate it so much. It was awesome. I'm going to read it again, actually. Because any time that you read a book, you don't, you know, first time, you don't see everything. You know, so
you don't comprehend all of it. So I'm the same way.
Yeah, because you know, and it's one of those kind of books that you do have to read over and over and over because your consciousness, your ego is going to be like, okay, what is this about? So you know, so you have to read it again, over and over.
Yeah.
But Jason, before I let you go, could you give us your website one more time? And that's the best way to get hold of your book. So give us your website one more time, please.
Okay, sure, thanks. It's Jason Lincoln Jeffers, JeffersJeffers.com, and that is the best place to just click on the book page, and then you can buy the book there in three different formats.
Yeah, and the one thing that I also found very interesting is that it's very reasonable. I mean, it's a very reasonable book to get in different formats, and so I would definitely recommend it. Well, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you, but we're going to have you back on sometime in the near future. But namaste, Jason, and you take care of yourself, okay?
Okay, Michael, thank you again so much for having me. It's been an honor and a privilege, and you take care of yourself as well.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and if you forgot all that stuff about how to get to his website, we make it really easy on you. You can go to our website at www.spiritualtalkradio.net, and if you click on his picture, you'll go right to his website. So, and you can do that with any of the guests that we've had on, and we've had amazing guests on here, and we have amazing guests coming up, but we are at a pickle, actually, at a place where we could have some problems, and what I mean by that is we have a bill that's due, and right now I need your help. So if you can make any kind of a donation, if you can help in any way possible, you know, be it a dollar, be it $5, be it whatever, I'm not asking one person to give the whole amount. It costs $39.99 to be on like we're on. But I do need your help. If you go to our website, you're going to see an urgent message right there on that front page because we are at an urgent moment in time. And but I also do believe that Spirit will help us and Spirit will provide, always does. And, you know, I would pay it out of my pocket, but I don't have it. So I need your help. So give what you can. If you can't give anything, just pray and Spirit will provide. Okay? I definitely believe that. You know, we work from a place of our heart. And we continue to work from that place no matter what. And we continue to trust Spirit and continue to manifest in our lives what Spirit wants for us. The show has been awesome. I do believe that we will continue to move forward into the future. And it's with your help. You know, you guys are awesome. I would say you're the best listeners that I have. And so... Does that make any sense? I think so, but you know what I'm trying to say, I hope. Because I really do love you. I do really care about you so much. And I'm here in any way I can to help you. And I want to continue to be here to help you. So let's work together to see that happen, okay? You'll find a donation button right on our website, right on that front page. I'll make it really easy for you. It's www.spiritualtalkradio.net, all right? You can check out my personal website, and if you'd like to set up a reading with me, you can go to www.spirituallyawakening.net. Be sure you get that other L in there. It is spirituallyawakening.com. Check it out. There's some cool stuff over there. There's actually a channel message that came through Stephen yesterday, I believe. Yes, it was yesterday. And so if you would like to go over there and check that out, you can find that channel message over on www.spirituallyawakening.com. If you go to the news page, you will find the channel message. I think it's titled something about Storm. So you can check that out. I wrote it, and then I actually read it yesterday. Because when I'm writing things like that, it's channeled, and so I don't know exactly what I'm writing, and then I have to read it. It's awesome. It actually hit a lot of places in my own life. I do believe that it is a timely message for right now. There will be more channel messages coming in the future there. I am working on a resource center over there, which will have links to help you spiritually. And also in every area of your life. A lot of people are, Jason mentioned this, a lot of people are in a place of depression right now. So we're going to give you links to the hotlines that you can talk to people if you need to talk to somebody. I'm a psychic medium and a spiritual teacher, but I'm not trained in a lot of areas. There are trained professionals that can help you with those kind of issues. We're really lucky to have those people on our planet. One thing a lot of people ask me, and I heard this the other day on another show, for some reason people think that, because if we're psychic or if we're mediums or if whatever we are, we don't believe in God. Well, I do believe in God. I believe in a source that's inside of us that is pushing us all forward, bringing us to this place of awakening in our own lives. From the moment that we're born, from the moment that I mentioned this the other day, and I'm going to mention it again. At the moment that you take a breath, you're on a journey. To me, it's a journey home. It's a journey going back to you, the true you. And it starts the moment that you take a breath in this human form. And this human form and all the life lessons that it brings us are here for one purpose and one purpose only, is to return us to our heart, to get us out of our heads. And the one thing about the next human in the book that Jason wrote is that he gives us that. He gives us clear guidelines and clear perspective where we change our lives. I would definitely get his book. I highly recommend it. I totally endorse it. And if I didn't endorse it, he wouldn't have been on my show. So I definitely believe in his book. I definitely believe in what he's trying to do through the book. So go to his website. It is Jason. Let's go over to his website really quick. It is Jason, www.jasonlincolnjeffers.com. Again, his website, www.jasonlincolnjeffers.com. Okay. We do have a guest on Wednesday, and we'll go from there. But Lisa will be with our guest on Wednesday. Lisa Miller will be with us on Wednesday night. Don't miss that. She'll be reading. She's an amazing psychic medium, and she'll be with us sharing her stories and her life with us. So tune in Wednesday, 6 p.m. Central. Thank you so much for listening to Spiritual Talk Radio. And thank you, Jason, again. Namaste, my friend. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again right here on Spiritual Talk Radio. You guys have a great night. And we're out of here, actually. I've got to figure something out. So you guys have a good night. And thank you for listening to Spiritual Talk Radio. Bye-bye.